Welcome to Ono, Ross, and Carrie, the show where we don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal, but show up ourselves.
Yep, when they make the claims, we show up so you do not have to. I'm Ross Blotcher.
And I'm Carrie Poppy, and guess what? You'll never believe it. We're going to talk about Scientology a little more.
We left on a cliffhanger. People wanted to know more.
So if anyone hasn't heard the first Scientology episode, this might be a little overwhelming and confusing. I would recommend going back to the last episode before you listen to this one.
We'll wait.
Yeah. Oh, you're back.
Previously on Oh No, Ross and Carrie, we went to take a personality test at the Church of Scientology in Los Angeles. Ross got roped into taking another class.
Uh-huh.
And Carrie wanted to think about it.
I wanted to sleep on it.
So I started telling you all a bit about my class, personal efficiency,
because
that's what was recommended to me. And then also advanced personal efficiency.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you don't have the former, you won't have the latter.
Uh-huh.
Before we do, I wanted to touch on a couple things we didn't get to touch on in the last episode.
Yes.
So again, for anyone who's kind of joining us for the first time, or maybe the second time, because they heard the first Scientology episode, you might be wondering, wow, they're just using all these people's names. Well, no, we're not. Unless they're public figures, we tend to give them pseudonyms.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be cute little pseudonyms, one that means something to us.
Right. You based on private in-jokes.
If there's like a really clear public figure, like we'll call David Miscavige by his name.
But we do it to protect the innocent and the well-meaning.
Yes, exactly. So any name you hear in here other than Ross, Carrie, David Miscavige, L. Ron Hubbard are probably made up.
But we ourselves, we use our real names almost all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, we tell you.
And in this investigation, we used it 100% of the time.
Yeah, real names, real phone numbers, real addresses that we gave to the Church of Scientology. And we do that because we're ourselves and we're interested in the subject. But we do run the risk of someone looking us up. If someone were to Google us, they could find out that we make a podcast. We don't offer that information, though, and we don't because we want to get the same experience that everybody else would.
We want to see what it's like to show up as a regular person and try these things for the first time. And if you went in and said, I'm a reporter, which I've done, you get a totally different treatment. A good treatment, but a totally different one, right? They're going to walk you around. They're going to give you the media tour. They're going to answer all your questions as best they can because they know that you're going to be sharing that with other people. We want to have that really sincere experience of the new joiner.
And that's what the show's all about. You know, it's not all the ins and outs of a particular group or belief or alternative medicine, but it's just what happens if you kind of stumble upon it and start asking questions, as we do.
Which also means if you want to hear the whole history of Scientology, you should be reading maybe Lawrence Wright's book or Janet Reitman's book or John Atack's book, but you won't get the full history here or in any of our episodes. You won't really get like a total thorough overview of this entire subject matter. You'll hear these personal experiences. And hey, if that's not what you want, then that's okay, buddy. You can go read a book. That's cool.
And we've already alluded that this will be a multi-part episode.
Yes.
There is much material to cover.
Yes.
I think in total, I spent over 55 hours at various Scientology establishments.
I added this up like a very rough figure. I think between the two of us, we spent 90 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ross, tell me how you went from inefficient to efficient to advanced efficient.
Okay. Shooting back to when I came the next day after our personality tests, bright and early on Sunday morning, 9 a.m., Ben met with me. I've described him before. And he took me first to one room that was clearly not meant for this. And he kept apologizing that this was kind of ghetto.
Did he use that word?
He did. For lack of a better term. You know, it was just like a TV and a little, it was a conference room essentially. Mm-hmm. But he put on this DVD for me.
And again, you're the only person there for the quote unquote class.
Right. Yeah, I was expecting, oh, okay, other people are going to sign up for this class. No, tell us when you can be there and we will assign you a Sea Org member to come and meet with you.
All right.
To walk you through this by himself.
And Sea Org being the Sea Organization, which is like kind of the top ranking, I guess.
It's if you sign up for the Sea Org, A, you sign that billion-year contract.
Right.
And B, you are now like clergy. You're like a member of the religious organization.
Yes. Yeah, I was just trying to think of the right way. Like, I don't want to say it because they're not necessarily staff.
They are
staff. Okay, yeah. They're automatically staff.
And now
okay.
They may have side jobs, and I heard right. about that many times from different Scientologists. Some are work there full time all the time, but some will work regular day jobs and then come after hours.
So you had your own Sea Org member,
my
Ben.
My own Sea Org member, Ben. Great guy, really got along. The first video he played for me was very much just like setting up this problem, the problem of work carry, the problem of being a cog in a machine.
Oh, boy.
And really, it was all about the unfairness of the nephew of the boss who gets to lord it over everybody and he gets advanced. And, oh, this person just plays a good golf game. It's frustrating because I'm working hard. I'm not getting any good positions.
Okay. I mean, that is one of many, many problems that can come up during the course of work.
Sure. The promise of Scientology, which is the first modern study of life itself.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what Scientology can do to enhance the workaday world for you and those you know.
Okay.
So there was like a 10-minute video essentially just to set this up.
Right. Here's
the problem. No solutions yet.
Well, we've already got a pretty big claim. What did you say?
The first modern study of life itself.
Okay.
In other contexts, they referred okay. to Scientology as the only major religion of the 20th century.
Okay.
That's probably fair.
Oh, created in the
yes,
20th century.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems fair. To say the first modern anything is kind of a wiggle thing to say, right?
Well, there's a lot of wiggling going
yeah,
on then.
Sure.
It's always creepy because as you're watching these videos, the Sea Org member who's with you will stand behind you and like you can see their reflection in the video. Yeah. So I'm in this conference room and Ben kind of steps back away. So he's not in my peripheral vision, but I could still see him reflected in the TV.
And is he watching the whole time?
Yeah.
God, he's got to be so sick of these videos.
Oh man. Can you imagine? How many times they watch these same videos?
I mean, there are some
over?
Videos you and I had to watch two or three times and we were like, no more.
When later on we got a different conference room. In fact, in the course of this course, we had at least three classrooms.
Okay.
So we kept moving around. But when they have an actual classroom, they have the lectern there. And they have like this automated video system. It's like a touchpad thing. And they can pull up videos that way. So it's a very slick thing. But yeah, it's like this playlist of, I don't know how many videos. Uh-huh. I can't even guess.
Sure.
I even asked them and they just kind of laughed.
Oh, sure.
they must
it's
be
like
watching
asking
over and over.
Someone like, how many sentences are in the Bible? They're like, a lot.
Right. Yeah, they came up later when I was asking them how many courses there were, these beginning courses. And I was talking to three Sea Org members at the time and they burst out laughing.
Of just introductory courses?
Yeah, and it was like nervous laughter. And one guy who had just recommended the course I was about to take, the Advanced Personal Efficiency course, he's like, oh, that's a great course. And so I was like, oh, how many have you taken? And he's like, oh man, tons. Not that one though. The one he just told me would be great. He said he'd watch the video though.
You know what that reminds me of is how at Trader Joe's, do you know this rule? All the baggers are supposed to mention one thing in your shopping cart and like remark on it.
Oh no.
So if they haven't had
anything,
usually it's like, oh, I've had this, this is so good. But if they don't know anything, they'll ask me like, oh, I've been really excited to try that. Is it good? And then every time I'm like, you're not really interested.
I know what you're up to.
Have a Disney day.
You're being exactly. Yeah. Another fun pattern that I notice is that after every response that I give, I get either a good or that's right or exactly.
Oh, uh-huh.
That's exactly right. There's this patois of just positive phrases that come out of a Scientologist's mouth when you're having a conversation with them, which follows every video and then precedes the next. So the first concept that I really learned about is the stable datum. Have you heard this before?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I know what a datum is.
All right. Well,
and I know what stability is.
Even if you did, they define it for you.
Oh, great.
And this is an important thing in Scientology is defining words.
Oh, yes. Big, big deal. If you go past a word that you don't understand, you're just giving yourself lots of trouble. Anytime that you don't understand a concept, it's because there was a word you didn't understand. So go back and find the word you didn't understand
word,
and start there.
Look it up.
Look it up in the glossary. Look it up in a dictionary.
And they have a glossary behind almost every printed material. You go to a performance in the back of the playbill, there's a glossary for you of terms you might not have known.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, in the back of every book. So, yeah, we spent a lot of time before each video, he would introduce, okay, these are new words you might hear. And oftentimes they're really common, like stable, that means solid, not going anywhere.
Knew that. Okay.
Datum.
And then datum is usually like something that can be represented by a number.
That's right.
Ah.
Exactly. It's also a point of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Let's define doctrine as something that is taught, laid down regarding some subject.
Yep.
A doctrine of confusion would be something true about confusion, yes?
Yes, but that's a confusing example.
Imagine this for 5 hours.
So insane. Okay.
So, okay, now we know what a stable datum is. And so they show the video. The video introduced a bunch of points of confusion, confusing situations. So they had one guy standing in traffic, and his eyes were glazed over because he just sees all these cars swirling about him.
Oh, boy.
Scary. And then there's a woman at a switchboard.
Uh-huh.
And I love, because L. Ron Hubbard had used the example of a woman controlling a switchboard.
Okay.
And so they modernized this with a receptionist, and there's like 8 phone lines and they're sure. all ringing at once.
Uh-huh.
And so the important lesson here was that the situation is only confusing so long as all the particles are in motion.
Okay.
And so a stable datum is what you do to adopt like one point of fact or one thing to focus on and then interpret everything else in that light.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're standing in the traffic, that's different. That comes later.
Okay.
In the traffic example, you focus on one of the cars, and then you can evaluate all the other cars in light of it.
This seems like just like making a very simple concept really unnecessarily complicated. It sounds like you're telling me like, don't try to multitask. And I'm like, got it. Okay,
next thing. Oh, you cut to the chase.
Oh, well, sorry.
Boy, well, we could have sat there for half an hour dissecting it because I did. The receptionist, she just needs to pick one phone line and answer that one first.
Sure,
and
got it.
That reduces the confusion.
Check mark. What's next?
I wish it was that easy. So yeah, I watched the 10-minute video on that, and then we dissected it, gave examples, etc. Really, it's take things one piece at a time, break big problems down into little ones. Important concept.
Which is generally good advice.
Sure. All right, for the next video then, we need to know two words. Knowingness means having a certainty. And anatomy, do you know what anatomy means?
Yeah, it means the study of the physical structure of a living thing.
That's right. The structure or arrangement of the parts of something. So the next video starts out. This one is all about control in life. And so that's where we learned about the start, change, stop.
Uh-huh.
Again, very insightful. Thank you.
Yeah. So far we've learned do one thing at a time and do the thing and don't keep doing the thing.
There you go.
Got it?
Yeah.
Check.
There's at least 20 minutes of examples of, can you think of someone in your life who likes to stop things all the time but doesn't want to start? In the video, there's an example of this guy running in and he's yelling at people like, no, put that down. What are you doing? Uh-huh. Stop that. Again, very caricatured, but all right, sure. But I did learn from this video that there's no such thing as bad control.
Okay.
There's only lack of control. And so they...
I mean, what about like manipulative people?
Okay. So like when you ask your wife to go bring you a hot drink, as my wife has just brought us hot drinks.
Yes, she did.
You are controlling her. I said, well...
Hang on.
She offered me the drink. I mean, I don't think she would like that language. And I said that to him. He's like, but you know, really you are controlling her. Controlling gets a bad rap. I was like, well... You see where I went with this.
Yeah. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but he's saying things like, you have a wife that you need to control. I was like,
Jesus.
I'm not comfortable saying that. But yeah, you're saying, oh, well, you know, control is a good thing. Then we learn about creation, survival, and destruction.
Right.
We talked about that last time. That's the cycle of action. Start, change, stop is the cycle of action. Creation, survival, destruction is the cycle of action of life. And I asked you all to stick a pin in that. Keep the pin in there.
Welcome back.
I felt so smart. I said at that point, oh, that's kind of like Brahma's the creator, Vishnu's the preserver, and Shiva's the destroyer. And Ben was so excited. He's like, yeah, LRH was studying the Vedas.
No, when you say LRH, you're referring to L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh, yes.
The founder. And by study.
The discoverer and founder
of Scientology. When you say that he studied the Vedas, it makes me wonder what that means. Because some of the stuff they say he studied seems to be like a little wiggly. It'll be like he picked up a book on that.
Yeah, an interesting understanding of both studying and researching when it comes to
and
L.
being
Ron
an expert.
Oh yeah, we will come across these concepts many times.
Yes.
As we work our way through these ideas with the start, change, stop thing, he even got into like an every sub action you do, like when you're on a keyboard and you're pressing that key, you start pressing that key, and then you.
Jesus.
Start.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, oh well. At some point, you can't think of all that because you've got to actually do stuff.
Right.
He's like, well, yeah, only one. Problems arise, can you use that to find where something's going wrong? And that's actually sensible.
Is it? I mean, like, if there were a problem, would you be like, where am I either not changing or stopping on this?
Okay, you're right. You talked me out of it. But the glossary thing, I wanted to say, that is sensible. Making sure you understand words and looking them up, that's
I wouldn't totally say fair. That all confusion is reduced to that, but that is a good rule.
Yeah. Certainly it gets fetishized here.
Although also another way to do it is to just read the whole sentence, gain context, and be like, I think I understand what that word means. Right. But sure.
Then we learned about affinity reality communication. We've talked about that at length.
The ARC
already.
Triangle, which we later will find out is the RCA triangle, but they don't let you call it that.
We were talking about reality. He was saying, you know, well, people agree on things and that's what makes them real. And at one point he said, taxes. You have to pay your taxes, right?
Right.
I said, yeah. He said, do you? Yes. He said, you don't. Taxes is just an idea. Okay. It's an agreement held by society. And I assure you, if everybody woke up tomorrow and said no more taxes, you wouldn't get in trouble for not paying your taxes.
Yes, if everybody did. Yes.
It's a simple agreement. That agreement is so strong that it's a reality. Great example for a Scientologist, you know, to say about not paying taxes.
Because the Church of Scientology doesn't pay taxes, you mean?
From how the story goes, they put in quite an effort to achieve their tax-exempt status.
Yes, yes.
Another thing, during that discussion, he mentioned having an upset with somebody. And I kind of stopped him right there, like, oh, when you and your wife have an upset, you know, .. And I said, whoa, I just want you to know, it sounds like jargon the way you used it. He said, I'm pretty sure people use that, you know, person can have an upset. And I said, no one would say that out of Scientology. I'm telling you, they don't. And he laughed about it. He said, okay, I'll take that. You know, I've been in it for 28 years. I think Yeah, he'd been in Scientology since 1987. He kept revealing to me little pieces about his background. He was raised Roman Catholic, but he had like gotten heavily onto drugs, which seems to be a common theme with Scientologists that we've talked to, come out of a past with drugs. So Scientology saved him.
I really wonder with that drug story, like how hard of drugs we're talking, because there was another person we talked to that told me he had been on so many drugs and he had gotten clean of them.
Yeah, and you asked him to name one.
Yeah, I was like, what kind of drugs? And he's like, oh, just like all of them. And I was like, because I'm thinking like, you know,
just give us a drug.
Yeah.
You threw out what, heroin?
I said, like, you know, getting off heroin would be much more impressive than, you know, like getting off your psychiatric pills or something.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yep, did that. Like, that's not how you'd talk about that if you used to be a heroin user. You would be like, yep, that was one of the things I did. Yep, the old H. It's like, you'd have like a deep, serious story about like how you almost died, which is like every heroin user's story.
Oh, that conversation was a hoot.
Who was that with?
That was the guy at the Way to Happiness Foundation.
Oh, okay.
At this point, about an hour and a half had transpired, and so I had to go to another meeting. He let me go, but he wanted my phone number. He put it into his phone and sent me a sampled text message. So, okay, I've got a texting buddy.
That was
buddy.
The beginning of a,
a beautiful
text
friendship
that would last for several weeks.
With him and many others. On the way out, we stopped by L. Ron Hubbard's office.
Yes, because in every Scientology building, there is an L. Ron Hubbard office that is empty and waiting for him to return.
It's big, it's palatial, and it's got his big LRH logo behind like where his head would be. Mm-hmm. It looks like a cattle brand kind of thing.
You know,
it's like this kind of cursive L, but you could also see where the R and the H are coming from.
Is the idea that he's coming back to this temporal world?
I asked Ben about it, and I got a different, slightly different answer than we got later from another guy about what LRH is up to now.
Right.
But I've heard in the past that they are expecting L. Ron Hubbard to return, and there's like a $8 million mansion waiting for him down in Hemet.
No.
Yeah, they've got like an empty mansion that's L. Ron Hubbard's.
Yeah. I want to go to that.
Oh, me too.
We have to go to that.
Yeah. Anyone want to invite us?
Yeah, anyone.
We'd happily go.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, and you are, we would love to go. We would love to go to your
Please
mansion.
Invite us. We'd appreciate that.
Anyway.
Anyways, so I asked him, it's kind of like saving a seat for Elijah. And he's like, kind of. It's more of just a respect thing that we keep his spirit alive. And I work at Disney. We have Walt Disney's office maintained now. It's restored and everything. I can kind of get that.
Yeah, but he worked in that office. I mean, it makes sense to be like, this is where he was. We're going to rope it off, you know, to keep it as it was. But like, L. Ron Hubbard
has never set
has
foot
never
here.
Been in almost all of the orgs in the world.
But he's got a waiting office for him.
Goodness.
I came back later that day and I had gone to Sunday Assembly. That's where I was. People always like describe it as church for atheists. Of course, they don't use either the term church or atheist and promoting it, but it is a convenient way to kind of describe it. So I came back and he immediately started asking, oh, well, where were you again? And it was like a lecture thing, kind of community event. And so what was it about? Oh, there was a talk about foster parenting.
What did you wear?
Oh, are you a foster parent? No, but I think it's really cool. And I wanted to learn more about it. And so, yeah, all of these questions, they always want to know more than most people would want to offer.
Sure.
I'm fine with that. You can know whatever you want. Finding parking when I got back was ridiculous. And I'm pretty sure that they rent out parking to the local hospitals.
Yeah, that's what I've read. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I've read.
Okay, but yeah, you get back. And he even mentioned that he had to go move his car to make room.
Oh, wow, okay.
That kind of supports that theory. Yeah, and he had given me an assignment. He wanted me to look for ARC as I was talking to people. And I said, oh, yeah, we did an icebreaker at the event I was at.
Right.
Totally think about building affinity. And yeah, that totally
makes
sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much what icebreakers are for.
Exactly. So yeah, so this time we got to the new class with the fancy panel for video selection and stuff. And he started out talking about natural laws. So do you know, Carrie, what a natural law is?
Something that's consistent throughout the natural world that you can rely on to have predictive power when you're looking at something in nature.
That's great.
Thanks.
It's not something you can break. They give you their definition, even if they like yours.
Sure.
So that's where I was informed that ARC is a natural law, but not of the physical universe. And you've used it whether you know it or not.
I see.
So I asked him at this point, oh, so was L. Ron Hubbard just like very observant that he knows all this stuff? Or like, how did he find this out? He started giving me kind of a brief bio of him, like, oh, well, he traveled the world. And we'll talk more about this when we mention our visit to the L. Ron Hubbard Life Exhibit. Interesting factoids, put that in quotes. Apparently, he was asked to be part of the Manhattan Project, but refused.
Yes, I've heard that.
Consider me skeptical. And I like that Ben accidentally said that he was rigorously trained. I made a note of that in scientific methodology.
Rigorously trained in scientific methodology. Wonderful. See that? I believe.
Okay. But he used that scientific process to study the mind. And that was the study of Dianetics. But no need to go into that because we'll have a whole episode on Dianetics.
Yes, we will.
Coming at you next. But I asked, like, so was there like a committee or like a research group? Mm-hmm. He's like, nope, just L. Ron Hubbard.
All right.
And it's not that, you know, he was just being egotistical or anything. He was totally open to suggestions, but it was found, I love this, it was found for over his time doing research, like 20 out of 100,000 suggestions were actually beneficial, and none of those were of major importance.
Okay. So he could have just said he was kind of a dick and not open to anything else.
But they would put numbers to that, like, like 20 sure. out of 100,000.
Sure. But also that just means he wasn't at all open to criticism or help.
Right. Yeah. He didn't want anybody's input. I asked if he was infallible, and Ben actually said no. L. Ron Hubbard himself said, I'm not a god, I'm just a guy.
I'm just a guy.
And apparently L. Ron Hubbard admitted that Scientology is not a perfect system, but it's a workable system.
Yes. So one thing that they do say a lot, and I don't know that they actually live this, but they did say a lot that if it's not true for you, you can throw it away. Like, it's all about whether it's useful and useful to you, which is a very Buddhist teaching.
Yeah.
And I know that LRH was fond of the Buddha.
There you go. Yeah, like in Fundamentals of Thought, the next book that I read, says, in Scientology, we have very little to do with forcing people to make conclusions. An individual can experience these things for himself, and unless he can do so, no one expects him to accept them.
Okay.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I don't know that that's actually how things are on the inside, but yeah, no, it's a mostly decent rule.
Yeah, sure. I asked Ben if there's like any updating to any of this material, like, you know, the internet came out after L. Ron Hubbard passed away. And he said, yeah, that's a good question, but I would say no. I would find that all of the things he said are still relevant.
There's a little wrench in the works there. Because a lot of the stuff has been updated since his death. And the claim is that they went back and listened to all his tapes over.
Yeah, and that there had been poor transcription.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical of that. Yeah. I'm not saying it didn't happen. Maybe it happened. But another explanation would be, if someone did want to take this opportunity to add some things they wanted added, that would be a pretty good excuse and a good time.
It's a good question. I don't know how big those changes were.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, there was a motive to release this whole golden age tech too, you know, for people to buy all of these books and materials again to get the latest, best versions of them.
Right.
We were frequently
that
told.
That could be a motive, yeah.
But we were frequently told, like, oh, well, if you're getting this book, make sure you get the one published after this year.
Not this year as in 2016, but it was like 2007.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to say late 90s, but maybe it was more recent than that. So, so then we move on to the next video. And this is an important concept in Scientology, the eight dynamics.
Yes.
But first, we need to define the word suppress.
I have a booklet that I'm holding up for you called The Cause of Suppression.
Oh, I bet it has a glossary.
That I read. I believe suppress must be early in the book, you'd think, right? Oh, you know what? This only has suppressive person.
They define it as a suppress is to squash, to sit on, to lessen, or make smaller in some way.
To sit on. I mean, I guess. I would never be like, I'm going to suppress this chair.
Again, metaphorically.
Yeah.
I read in Fundamentals of Thought, again, the next book I read, he was talking about the eight dynamics, and he said, to promote this orderliness, it is necessary to assume, for our purposes, these eight arbitrary compartments of life.
They're not arbitrary.
He called them arbitrary in his other book, but they were presented very matter-of-factly to me in this video. The eight dynamics of life are like eight different areas that you need to thrive within.
Okay.
And they painted it as concentric circles where you are at the center and these other dynamics extend out from you. So
okay.
The very first one is the self dynamic.
Okay.
And it's all about you and your self-preservation. Babies are born into the first dynamic and they gain others as they get older.
Okay, so a little bit like id ego, super ego, but
yeah,
stretched out more. Okay.
Yeah. The second is surviving within the sex dynamic.
That's, sex, S-E-X?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now everyone's paying attention. So there's two like subparts to that. There's just the sex drive itself. And then the second one is family and procreation.
Okay.
All right. So you can exist on that dynamic. The third is the group dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And so this is where you in the class have to name four different groups you belong to.
Sure. I had to do this at one event.
You've been through this. Okay.
Yeah, where I was like, okay, a church group, a bowling team, you know, and you're just exactly. Like, please, we get it.
The fourth dynamic is the mankind dynamic.
Okay.
So that's survival of all humanity. The fifth dynamic is the animal dynamic. And this is interesting because they immediately then say all animals and also plants. So why not call it...
Okay. The life dynamic.
Yeah. The nature dynamic.
Yeah.
The
very strange.
The animal dynamics. There was some video or something I saw at some point, I think, that said nature dynamic as well. But sure, why not? Number six is the universe dynamic. So that's all matter, energy, space, and time.
All right. Sure.
Guess what, Carrie? We get a new term for that. Messed.
Mest, M-E-S-T.
Matter,
oh, yeah.
Energy, space, time.
Sure, beautiful.
You're welcome. Now you have a new term for that.
Great.
The seventh dynamic is the spiritual dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And then the eighth dynamic is the infinity or God dynamic. And are you sitting?
You can see that I'm sitting.
Our audience doesn't know if you're sitting. I can assure you that she is sitting. I hope you are all sitting as well.
Uh-huh.
If you turn eight sideways, it's infinity.
It's infinity, yeah.
They actually point that out.
Jesus Christ.
I was going to say it later as a joke, and then they stole my thunder by using it in the video.
Good grief.
And they said that this is the one dynamic, the eighth dynamic, the God infinity one, is the only one that Scientology doesn't really touch on, which I thought was interesting. Huh. So
seems critical.
Yeah, kind of important.
We just won't talk about... forever.
The way it was presented is that Dianetics was all about the first four dynamics, and then Scientology added these other dynamics. But anyways, the important thing is that you operate on all eight dynamics and that you are lacking as a person if, you know, you're not existing on one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, all right. Yeah, fine. I was okay with that.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with that for most things. But for Scientology, where they say that you have to accept that they have all the answers. You know, they say that you can be Scientologist in any other religion, but then they also say you still have to say that you find all the answers in us, that you wouldn't have to look elsewhere for more. And yet they're also saying they can only give you seven of the eight dynamics.
At least in the materials that we encountered, they always kind of step away and from saying anything about God or the creator.
Yeah.
But we're just cracking the surface here. So yes. I can very easily imagine that the eighth dynamic becomes a certainty later on.
Sure.
One question I asked him, because of their emphasis on the animal dynamic and all of nature, I was saying, oh, so are a lot of Scientologists vegans or vegetarians? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, not really. Then he started going into this whole thing like, oh, well, every action involves some element of destruction. So if you drive somewhere, you're leaving rubber on the ground. And so you can't avoid some destruction. So if you eat, a plant is going to die or an animal is going to die.
Don't. You should just eat kids.
Yeah, we... That's a better response. So it's like, we don't want to be apathetic about it. You try to like minimize your impact, right? He turns around and he says, well, yeah, you want as much construction as possible and as little destruction. So you want animals to be treated humanely and not pump them full of chemicals. That comes back to us and we suffer on the first dynamic.
All right.
So
sure.
Yeah.
QED.
Yeah, sure. I asked if there was like an ideal number of kids in Scientology.
Ah.
Because I thought that was important maybe to that fourth dynamic. He was saying no. No, there's no preferred family size.
All right. Okay. I mean, fair enough.
I asked him about how homosexuals are accepted within Scientology. Mm-hmm. But I think we'll save that discussion for...
We did talk about that at another place we went.
Yeah.
What did he say, though?
Essentially that it is aberrant. And that
okay.
At first it was like, oh, well, that's totally okay. I have parishioners who are gay and that's totally fine. But I do find that as people progress in the church, that tends to go away.
Okay.
But he did make the point that our spirits are genderless.
Okay.
So that's where we had to break again because I'd been there for like another 2 hours.
Oh, did they give you like a workbook you had to fill out or exercises?
Well, constantly, yeah.
Okay.
So for each video, he'd set up the words that I was going to encounter. Then we'd watch the video, usually 5 to 10 minutes long, somewhere in that range. Then we would talk about those principles. I would give countless examples, like enough for a class of 10 to the instructor. And still up to the very end, he would pull multiple examples out of me for every single concept. And then I would start asking a bunch of questions. So it's my fault. We dragged it on for so long because I had tons of questions. And he
But a good teacher is like, oh, good, this person gets this concept. Let's move along.
Sure. Yeah. And clearly there were things I got that we'd still be talking about. And then oftentimes I would have to stop and write long form responses.
Said.
Yeah.
It's
so like, oh, well, tell me of a time where you created something that you wanted to stop creating. And like, okay. So then I write a paragraph on that, and then there's another paragraph, and then I initial it and turn it into him. And
so he adds it to my file. Would diarrhea be a good example?
It would be an example, whether it is a good example.
That's what I would have written.
I cannot speak to. But then he would collect these and I assume they were going in my pre-clear folder somewhere.
Sure. Which may be being looked through rigorously right now.
Yeah, yeah. What
rigorously.
What dirt do we have on Ross? I mean, I was writing real stuff, but I don't know. I don't think I said anything too incriminating. So then I came back. Again, we were texting each other and we decided on me coming back the next day.
Uh-huh. Not you and I, but you and Ben. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So he was going to resume with me on Monday night. And I already knew, like, I had a big work project I had to do that night.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up staying up till 2 a.m. because I had to go back to work and get that done. So this is all Monday night. Got there at 8 o'clock. And all the same people are there. Middle of the night.
Wow.
On Monday, 9 p.m. when I left, everybody's still there.
Man.
But yeah, all the same people that we met, they're still there. Sunday morning, Monday night.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So what time were you there on Sunday morning?
9 a.m.
Okay. Wow. To 9 p.m. the following
and
day.
And then I got there.
36 hours
Then I got
later.
There at 1:30. People were there. Yeah. And
same
then,
people?
Yeah.
My
yeah,
gosh.
It's like you see these same people walking around all the time in the Sea Org uniforms.
So someone wrote to us and I'm just relating what they said. I don't know if this is true, but they said that they were a former Sea Org staffer at our org. And they said that they felt that without a doubt, your friend Ben had red eyes because they just like almost never sleep.
Oh, no.
That person said, and again, this is what they said. I don't know if it's true, that in their 5 or so years on staff, they felt like there were about a cumulative 2 weeks worth of nights where they got a full night's sleep.
5 years? Mm-hmm. What? But yeah, he always was just willing to meet me anytime I said I was available. And I kept thanking him profusely for being so flexible.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it just seemed like everyone was there all the time.
Gosh.
Crazy. So when I got there, they did offer me coffee. So hot drink offer there. Oh, a hot
drink. Excellent.
Turned that down. But they did have a cheese and crackers plate.
Yes. One of their favorite treats.
Yeah. This became a running theme and then a running joke. Like whenever you're hungry, they're like, here is a cheese and cracker plate. Look, we have brie. Oh, great.
Yeah. They love brie.
Yeah.
They love it.
I'm like, oh, fancy cheese. Okay. But man cannot live on cheese and crackers alone.
Correct.
I found.
Or quiche. We'll get there.
Oh, goodness. So we scrounged for a room again. We got kicked out of one. We went to another. So I kept meeting all these nice new rooms just because there would always be someone like kind of harrying us to get out of this place. And people like opening the door while we're in the middle of the session. And Ben would be getting very protective of that. Like, excuse me, we're in a class here.
Oh,
I put a sign on the door. But yeah. He even joked then, oh, welcome back to the longest personal efficiency course of all time. So he realized we were way over time. So this was perfect. The next video was about exhaustion. This is perfect. I'm going to be exhausted tonight.
Sure.
So the lesson here is that it's all about extroversion, which is looking outward.
Okay.
Yeah, forget our whole personality episode. You're getting new definitions here. And introversion, which is looking inward.
Okay.
And so... So if someone is exhausted, it's not because they're not getting enough rest. I said take rest out of the equation, may speak to this whole red eyes thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply that they've become too introverted.
Oh, that's terrible.
So yes, it is. I'm laughing, not because...
I know. It's
that's not
no.
terrible. It is.
It's, gleefully absurd. But I mean, you're like telling someone, like, if I've exhausted you, it's your fault. Don't be so focused on yourself.
It was interesting. They were giving examples of, if you're looking at the same thing close up for too long, then that's going to harm you. And...
sure.
That's totally legit. People now recommend if you're staring at a computer, stop every 20 minutes to look at something far away.
Oh, yes, totally. It just doesn't seem, like a major revelation, I guess.
Maybe at the time it was written, it was brand new.
All right.
But anyways, in Scientology, there is a process called, this is how they said it. There is a process called take a walk.
Hold on. Let me figure out what this might be.
Yeah, take a wild guess.
Okay. You use the lower half of your body to push all of your body up, and then you go left, right, left, right with your feet.
You read
left,
this somewhere,
right,
didn't you?
Left, right. No.
How
I'm
did you know
guessing.
That?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I know you must have missed it, but a walk is actually something that's already in the vernacular.
Okay. Yeah, you walk around the block. You observe things. You look at them cheerfully. And so there's video and you're watching this guy walk, At first he's tired, and looking very tired. And he walks around, but then he's observing things. And it warns you first, you're going to feel brighter. And then you're going to feel even more tired. But keep walking through the exhaustion because, again, it's not about rest. You're just walking it out.
I wonder if this is why I always see Scientologists just walking down the street around.
They're taking a walk.
Yeah, maybe they're doing their take a walk.
But, yeah, it builds reality.
Next time I'm going to be like, take a walk.
Do it.
Yeah.
Totally do it. So, of course, if you build reality, then you also build.
Affinity. And communication.
You got it. Here's an extra tip for all of you married or in a relationship folks out there. If you're having a disagreement, take a walk, both of you, but walk opposite directions around the block.
Okay.
And so in the video, they showed this young couple and they were crossing paths once around the block and then they'd keep walking and then they'd see each other again. They got a little more pleasant each time.
Okay. Sure, I'll try that.
Here's another. Are you ready for another process? It's called look them over.
That's a little creepy.
This is just in general. If you're having a problem with reality,
if you have schizophrenia,
you look at people. That's all. You'll find that people aren't so bad.
What? Okay. So far, we've learned.
These are two really helpful techniques.
We've learned do one thing at a time.
Uh huh.
Stop doing the thing.
Before you start another, for sure. Otherwise, you'll make a sane man insane.
Walks are good.
Uh-huh. Take a walk.
And people watching is good, too.
Uh-huh. Don't forget the eight dynamics. We've learned a lot, Carrie.
Right.
We've come a long way.
And you should be a well-rounded person, but you don't need God.
Yeah, you got it.
Cool.
Oh, there was one sentence in the middle of that video that almost made me laugh out loud. They said, in Scientology, another word for reality is havingness. Why not?
Yeah,
I know. Let's get another term for that, please. Yeah,
definitely at the point in this where I'm just like, yes, got it. Moving on. Check.
It
check
took mark. Took me a little longer to get to that point, but I definitely got to that point.
Yeah.
There's a moment where I remember just responding like, yeah, you got me.
You got it.
But it was. I think it was the second class, maybe about 3 hours in. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, all right, whatever. Let's just get through this. So next I learned the word dispensable.
Okay, so to me that means something that you don't you're gonna use but you don't totally need forever.
Yep.
You can get rid of it.
I'm gonna accept that.
Okay, good.
Definition. But yeah, this is all about not being dispensable at work. There's
sure.
There's no such thing as being too smart, but there is too stupid. And this is one of those lines where, like, the guy saying it in his voice, like, sounded so different than L. Ron Hubbard. Because there is no such thing as being too smart, but there is too stupid. But then you picture L. Ron Hubbard with, like,
there's no such thing.
No such thing as being too smart, but her is too stupid. So, anyways, work is the stable datum of this society, and men who cannot work.
Okay. Wait, what? Work is the stable datum?
Why are you questioning this? We're past the point of questioning, Kay.
So wait, the stable datum means the thing that's always true.
Yeah, it's the organizing principle by which other things are interpreted.
Okay. I mean...
Just accept it, Kay.
Okay.
All right. And so, yeah, men who cannot work are not happy men, and this is interesting. Scientology can increase intelligence and make work a pleasant, happy thing. So, yes, you can indeed boost your intelligence with Scientology. And this ties in with, you know, our first day where we took our personality test and IQ test. Numerous times throughout our minglings with various Scientologists, we were told success stories of people increasing their IQ.
Yes.
Yeah, woman I talked to later, she said her IQ went from 122 to 148.
Wow, very impressive.
Yeah. So there you go. That's what Scientology can do for you. Make you smarter, more effective in work.
So there's
less dispensable, as it were.
It sounds like work is something you want to do all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's 70% of life. So yeah, at this point, then he told me that I have now learned some of the most important foundational lessons of Scientology. There's a success form in your folder. Tell us about any wins or realizations. I get to write down my successes from this class. And then they brought me a certificate of completion.
Ah.
So yeah, another...
Did they bring one to you or to someone with a very similar name?
They brought it to me and it said Ross Blocker. And what I love is that it was signed by the Minister of Validity. But it was
for you told me that you came home and showed that to Kara, and she's like, Minister of Validity, get that away from me.
Such a perfect reaction. Yeah, I'm all excited about this, and she just sees Minister of Validity and wants nothing to
take
do with
it
this.
Away.
What I liked even better was that he realized that it said Ross Blocker.
Uh-huh.
He apologized and said, we'll have a new one printed out for you. But he let me keep the misspelled one.
Nice.
So they went back. They
clearly not made by a person who was clear, because you have perfect recall when you're clear.
Mm, good point. The second one came back to me later while I was talking about my next class. So I have them both.
Nice.
I'll put them up on the old Facebook. You know, I was ready, wanted to get back to work because I had this huge video editing project to do for like a major presentation the next day. But he said, oh, let's go see Sarissa. And of course, she's still there at 9:30 p.m.
Why wouldn't she be?
He even said, oh, I really want to teach Ross advanced personal efficiency. Really like, you know, the discussions we're having. Think this is great. So he was into it from all appearances. And so they promised me that we'd go more into the dynamics in detail. Great. Learn more about the spirit. The cycle of action is quite different. So, all right. I'm geared up for this next class.
Who were you?
You know what? I did want to take more classes with him. So that's a testament to Ben. I'd spent 5 hours with him now and I want more.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, so we get down to Sarissa and she's asking me, what did you like most? Did you understand it? At this point, it's like, I'm just done reflecting on these ideas.
Yeah.
So I'm having to give her kind of pat answers and she's not even interested in it. She's like, yeah, cool, awesome. Again, I had already said I'm interested in this course, but she starts pitching me on all these other courses. And they were showing me this diagram they had up on the wall there. And this is back in the registration area where we'd started out, of the bridge. So
yes.
That's where they formally introduced that to me. And already it was showing the OT levels, and it was showing all these things that kind of lead up to it. Mm-hmm. So they're telling me about the purification rundown, which we'll explain. Yeah. The survival rundown. We'll talk more about these later on. But there's all these introductory courses that you can take. There's other paths that you can take from a starting position. I'm guessing based on all those personality results.
Inventories, yeah.
Yeah. And so there's like the values and integrity course you could take that would get you there.
Right. Or, you know, they wanted me to take how to improve relationships with others.
There you go. And so that could get you to the foot of the bridge, just as my advanced personal efficiency could get me to the foot of the bridge. They brought out the book for the next course, and they had it sitting there along with the little, again, it's all shrink wrapped with the little packet that comes with it. So this next book for advanced personal efficiency is Scientology, the Fundamentals of Thought. And we have the tree in the middle.
Cool.
It's glowing. It's kind of bluish green.
Very Avatar.
Yeah. So they bring that out for me. And then Ben comes back and he's got this like stack of books, and they're all like, they've got like kind of a clear cellophane around them with a big silver bow.
Ooh.
He's like, well, because it's Christmas, I thought you might be interested in this. These are all the fundamental books of Scientology. So there's 18 main Scientology books, but these are the 9 fundamental ones. And we're going to give you this for just, he said, with the class, like if you take this next class and get all these books, just $290.
No.
Yeah. So I'm looking at these books through the clear cellophane, and two of them are books now that I own. And the others are like Dianetics, and it's not worth describing all the books. But I looked up later on the website, and you can buy all of them from the website. Most of them are $20 a pop, but Dianetics is $25. So I think it would come to like $185 to buy the books.
Oh, okay.
And they're essentially selling them to me for $190. In person there.
But with the course, right?
Which is $100. So the course is $100. And so they're telling me that this is a discount because of my free membership that Sarissa just signed me up for.
Oh, wonderful.
And I said, wait, come again? She said, oh yeah, I just signed you up for a free 6-month membership in the IAS.
The International Association of Scientologists.
Yeah. I said, oh, that's the first I've heard of it. I wanted them to know that I know what you did.
Uh-huh, sure.
And I never had any choice in this matter. Uh-huh. You signed me up without asking me.
Right.
But all under the guise of giving me the discounts on these books. So I said, well, thank you. I'm gonna skip on the books right now because I've already got two of them, and you know, I'll collect them as I read them. But I'll work on these for right now. Yeah. So I just paid $100 for the second course, and scheduled for the next class. It was going to be the following Sunday at 9 a.m. and it was going to be a 5-hour class. So do you think that class ended up as 5 hours?
No, I do not.
We'll find out.
But I definitely do not. I'm going down on the record right now. I do not.
Okay. Carrie has weighed in. That is a safe bet. I'm not going to bet against you. And so I sauntered off into the night to go fight exhaustion at work. And I did try out that walking thing later. It was fine. Didn't feel any less.
Oh, you tried out walking.
Yeah, I took a walk. You know what? I don't know if it helped, actually.
I used to take, when I worked in an office, I'd always get up at my lunch break. I'd take a big walk.
It's always a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea to walk.
I have nothing bad to say about taking a walk.
I just don't really feel like it's a novel idea.
And I still think you need sufficient rest.
Uh-huh. I do too. Well, that was boring. I mean, it's interesting, but like it is also just like monotonous to listen to. And then I think of you like actually going through it. I mean, it sounds...
A lot of videos, a lot of forms to fill out.
Oh my God. Yeah, and we'll talk about later about another class we took together. But with those videos, they're such a double-edged sword because in some way it's relief from the actual guts and glue of the class.
It's a more passive experience.
Yeah.
Okay, I get to sit and have someone talk to me in a smooth, assuring voice with really peppy new age music in the background.
Right. Maybe think about something else. But on the other hand, yeah, you're like watching them over and over. And they're just basically, you know, bad actors yelling at each other under Vaseline.
So much bad acting.
Oh.
You see people who sometimes just lack direction in life. And there's this guy just like walking around blankly, bumping into things. Like, no one does that. No. So what we want to hear about, Carrie, is your experience.
I know you do, but hang on. You know what I want to hear about?
Oh, probably high-quality entertainment.
Yes, exactly. Where can I get some?
Well, the only place I know is Maximum Fun.
Oh, okay.
It's a network with all the greatest shows.
Like what?
Throwing Shade.
Oh, I've heard of that.
My Brother and Me.
Uh-huh. Schmanners.
Yeah, that's a brand new show.
Yeah.
Can I Pet Your Dog?
Sawbones.
I listen to Sawbones all the time.
Jordan, Jesse Go. Bullseye. International Waters.
So many good shows. Judge John Hodgman.
Judge John Hodgman.
Actually, he judges you, which is the weird thing.
Yeah, it's not a command.
It's a title.
Yeah.
Stop podcasting yourself, lady to lady.
Ross, you pick your favorite and play me a little clip of it, will you?
Hey, listen to this.
Hello, Internet. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Teresa McElroy.
She is my wife.
And he's my husband.
And it is our pleasure to introduce to you a brand new podcast.
Schmanners. It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions. Teresa, let me ask you this. Can you teach me how to write a thank you note?
Yes, I can.
How about tips to improve my table manners?
I'll do my best.
And will you finally explain to me the difference between casual and business casual and cocktail and formal and black tie and all that stuff?
If anybody can, I can.
But like, it's going to be funny, right?
Of course, I'm going to give historical origins and how those manners fit into our everyday lives. How could it not be funny?
But also sometimes we'll talk about like burps and farts, right?
Yeah, when not to.
But we'll still talk about it.
Yes.
Great. So come join us for our new hilarious show.
No RSVP required.
Coming to you soon every Friday on MaximumFun.org. It's Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
So, Ross.
Hey, Gary.
You went to that so I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to something that you didn't go to.
I wanted to.
I know you wanted to.
I could not. I was out of town. I was so sad.
This is something else.
I'm so excited.
So you found out about it, right?
Yeah, they invited me to the New Year's celebration.
Yes, their New Year's party.
Scientology does this every year, and they celebrate all that is great and good in Scientology.
And it's in Los Angeles.
And none of the bad, because that doesn't exist.
Right. So they invited you. I think at that point you mentioned, go, Carrie might want to go, but I gonna be out of town.
Yeah, and you were the derelict friend, and they kept asking about you, but they were excited that you were interested.
Yeah, so you gave them my info. They called me actually while I was in Florida visiting my boyfriend's family. So I keep having to remove myself. Oh, excuse me, the Church of Scientology is calling. My boyfriend's parents are fortunately very cool and think what I do is very cool. So they're like, "Oh, she's got to go talk to Scientology, everybody."
That's sweet.
Yeah, they're fun.
I love it.
I told them, you know, that I was interested in going, that I'd like to bring my boyfriend as well. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, great. And they put my name down on a list. And I'm like, okay, cool, all set. And then maybe 3 hours later, phone rings. Oh, it's another 818 number. Hello. Someone else from the Church of Scientology who's like, Ross told us he'd like to come to the party. And I just wanted to see if I could sign you up. Oh, you know what? Someone already called and signed me up. Oh, so sorry. Okay, but you'll be there? Yes, I'll be there. Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Next day.
This is the lack of crosstalk between the Scientologists.
I talked to so many people and I just stopped answering the phone. I was like, no, I'm going, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then I get a text from Roger that's like, you know, I heard you're going. I just want to make sure you're going. Can I meet you outside? I'm like, yes.
And every time he texts, there's like this signature line that takes up multiple lines. So his texts always break up into two separate texts. Which is, it's annoying.
It's annoying. And then like sometimes the second will send before the first. And you're like, what's happening? What's he saying? Oh, right. Okay. It's down here.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, so Drew, my boyfriend, wanted to go, especially since you weren't going. He was like a little nervous about me going alone. So I'm like, sure. Sweet. Yeah, come.
Mm-hmm.
I did ask one of them, like, what's the
attire?
Yeah. What's the dress code?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, it's like nothing too fancy, but you know, like some of the guys are wearing suits. Like, okay.
All right.
So I figure like, okay, something that I would at least wear to work. So Drew and I show up like, I'm wearing like a dress.
Okay.
Drew's wearing like a button-down shirt and pants.
Okay.
Maybe a tie, not sure. We walk in and it is black tie.
No, seriously?
It is like women in like full gowns. like, oh, no. Choir. And we were both
they
like,
they totally misled you on God. That.
Yeah.
This is at the Shrine Auditorium?
Yes. It's at the Shrine Auditorium downtown. And there were no signs for it. There's like one little sandwich board that said like New Year's event, but there's nothing that says Scientology.
Okay. They don't want protesters outside. Yep. Yeah. And they gave out the tickets for this, at least as far as we knew, like just days before it happened too.
On all the advertising, it didn't say where it was. You had to find out a couple days before.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were very clever about it. But there were some people who appeared to be staff members who were dressed in all black, and then they might just be wearing like a nice black dress, but there were tons and tons of people in like sequin gowns, and we were both like, oh dear, oh dear. So right away we walked in and Drew was like, oh no, are we underdressed? And I was like, yes. Anyway, here we go. What are you going to do at that point? We walk up and everyone was eyeing us like they could immediately smell that we weren't.
This is so not fair because finally you ask in advance, like, what should I wear?
Right.
And they misled you.
So we walk up to the registration table and everyone's like really suspiciously looking at us. Like they can tell. They didn't even say like, oh, what's your name or anything. They were like, hello. And I was like, hi, we're guests. And they said, are you on the list? And I was like, yeah, Roger, I think, put our names down on the list. We're not members. And then like one very friendly lady was like, okay, I'll look you up. And she didn't seem to think anything of it. But everyone else at the table was like glaring at us. Jeez. So she finds, actually, I don't even think she found our name. Maybe she did. And she's like, okay, that's fine. You know, just write your names on these name tags, put them on. We do that. And we like walk in and a guy hands us two flyers. Here, I'll hand you one.
This is blingy.
So on the front, it says, tell us your postulates for 2016.
Ooh.
Please complete this survey and hand it to a staff member before you leave. Now, they realize that we're guests when they give this to us.
Okay.
And here's what it says.
We've got the Scientology logo like in big shiny metal. And there's New Year's 2016 in shining gold in front of the shining silver. And then there's like these bursts of fireworks in the background. This is
right.
This is triumphant. This is a triumphant flyer.
But Ross, imagine getting this, being like Drew, someone who's never done anything with Scientology, getting this.
Please, you look at the back and it says, to a staff member before you leave. Okay.
I'm looking at number two. What would you like to accomplish on your progress up the bridge in 2016?
Oh, goodness.
When do you plan on getting started on this?
Have you completed, that's such a Scientology question.
Have you completed the purification rundown and or survival rundown since the release of Golden Age of Tech Phase 2?
Purif?
What do you know who do you know that needs to do the Purif and or survival rundown?
Oh my goodness.
Have you done the Golden Age of Tech Phase 2 student hat?
I love student hat.
Yeah, so.
Yes or no?
We're both those little like, check boxes. What? I mean, I barely understood some of it.
Carrie, are you currently on service?
I'm not.
What service? At which org? Oh my goodness. They just never stop with the questions.
We're already just like, what? Okay, I'm just putting this in my purse.
If it were to align, would you consider joining staff or the Sea Org now or in the future?
If it were to align, yeah.
If it were to align, yeah, that would be a great response.
Mean? Yeah.
Yes, if it were to align. Would you be attending the Flag World Tour event on Saturday, January 30th, 2016?
No.
Oh, we wanted to do going, that, but we ended up having to,
had to do something else.
Another investigation you will hear of and you will love.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this one.
Yeah, you should be fired up about that. Drew and I walk in and we're clearly looking around us like we don't know where to go, you know? There's an usher person there, like a Scientologist, not a staff member of the auditorium.
Did you actually see anybody you knew from the LA org?
No.
Okay. They were there.
Yeah, they were there.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, we're guests and we have like special guest passes. Like it's so clear. Huh. And he's like, okay, yeah, you just go up these stairs to the balcony and they'll let you in. As we like walk up to the foyer of the balcony, again, like it just felt like everyone turned and looked at us. And this is probably 100 people. Like, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
Well, they can't all know
so
each other,
strange.
Though. Or just because of how you're dressed.
I think it's because I wore dress, yeah.
What color is your dress?
It's like blue and has paisley on it.
Thanks.
So they're all wearing black.
Now I'll stop changing the color of your dress like the horse in Wizard of Oz.
Drew was wearing like a brown corduroy jacket.
These are the details I need.
A guy gets up on a chair and he's like, can you hear me? And the entire room goes, yeah.
Whoa.
Like in unison like that. And we were both like, and then he's like.
Weird, like barking like that?
Yeah. Can you hear me in the back?
Yeah.
And like every time he asked a question, that it was like a call and response. You know, every time he did it, they had to go, yeah. all at once, like gutturally. It was crazy. What? Okay, so he tells them, okay, everybody, a couple things I need you to pay attention to. Number one, when you go in there, there might be some people who come by and say they want you to leave your seat and go to another seat. If someone asks you to do that, just do it. Don't ask questions, just go. I don't care if you're with your friends, go. Because you know what? There's going to be a camera and it's going to be panning over the audience and we need people to be in those seats. So these poor like Sea Org members,
they got people running around, to make the place look as full as possible.
Yes, the camera pans.
So you found yourself in a little cadre of Sea Org members.
We were accidentally in a Sea Org meeting. Someone has sent us up accidentally into a Sea Org meeting. And it takes us like a little while to even realize that because, you know, we hadn't meant to. So we're just staying there and we're like, okay, I guess we'll go to different chairs if we're told. Okay. Oh, this isn't meant for us. So then they're like, okay, so we're going to let the public in first and then you can go in. And so then Drew and I are like, oh, okay. We're not supposed to be here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a guy, a really nice guy, was like, hey, hi, are you staff? And we're like, no. And he's like, okay, would you mind going down the stairs until we're done with our meeting? And we're like, yeah, yeah, that's fine. Because we're like kind of like frightened at this point. It's no problem, no problem.
Go down. You should have said, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So we go down the stairs, and then like down the stairs, we see the people who are very obviously like the only non-Scientologists. There are like 10 of us, maybe.
Oh, wow.
And we're all just like sitting there, huddled in a corner on like the stairs, all like clearly having been told.
Wide-eyed and shaking.
And all clearly having been told like to dress like nice casual. Oh, one guy's got a Hawaiian shirt on.
Hey, but you found your peeps. That's good.
Yeah. We did like talk to them, but they all were like pretty spooked. So they didn't want to talk much. So then when that meeting was over, we walk back up and everyone's just like standing there silently. So Drew and I are like, are we allowed to go in? The people we're standing right next to just turn and look at us and say nothing. So we're like, okay. Creepy. So I walk up to an usher and I'm like, can I go in? And he's like, are you staff? No. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
What?
So Drew.
What's supposed to be the start time of this event?
It was about the start time.
Okay.
So Drew and I go in with like three people trailing us and like 100 people just standing waiting for like the six of us to make our grand entrance in our street clothes. It was so awkward.
Oh, man.
So we go in and they have specific seats they want us to sit in, which is crazy because this thing is like half empty.
Uh-huh.
So we go in and we sit in these like specific seats way up high in the balcony. And poor Drew, like at this point, was so freaked out. I felt so bad that he was there. He's like, yeah, this is a little much. And I felt so bad. So the people around us were clearly mostly very young, mostly like between 20 and 40. So they're all sitting there, you know, like giving us the side eye and not talking. Eventually, the show starts. Lights come down. All of a sudden, lights start shooting up from every place. Boom, 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 you know, with big sound effects of like a Klieg light opening, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just all over. Yeah. Yeah, all in different colors. I immediately was like, oh my God, there should have been an epilepsy warning. My God, it was just like so much light. And Drew's face just lights up. He was so happy. He sits on the edge of his chair and I was like, you're okay now? And he's like, I'm okay now.
It's 4th of July.
Yeah, this is the best.
On New Year's.
Like this music starts.
Is this actually New Year's Day?
No, it was the 27th.
That's right. I remember someone telling me about that when they invited me. They were saying, we want to shoot it a few days in advance so we can edit it down and have it ready for New Year's to share with the rest of the world.
Huh, fair. So music starts and out comes this singer. She's got a very lovely voice. Mm-hmm. And she's singing like some general like pop tunes. And she has just some very general dance moves that she's doing. And she's a good singer and it's enjoyable. But the people around us are going nuts. And then she finishes and then a dude comes out and he sings his song. And then he goes back. Another woman comes out. All very young. You know, young woman comes out. She sings. Then they like dance together. And they all got standing ovations.
Hey.
Which turned out to be a theme.
A thing.
I counted, and at the end of the night, there were 27.
I'm so glad you kept count.
Standing ovations.
27.
I started
after
counting.
After the third one, you're like, oh. I
started counting at like 5, I think. Because my mom, I don't know why, but she would always count the standing ovations at the Oscars. No idea why. But so. So it's just sort of something my brain will absentmindedly do, but okay. I knew as the number climbs, you're going to forget, right? Uh-huh. So right around five, I was like, wait a minute, I think I better start counting.
That's amazing. 27 in how long of a period of time?
It was like a little under 3 hours.
And so that's 6.66.
Oh my God.
Like every 6 2/3 minutes, there's a standing ovation on average.
Yep.
At the Scientology New Year's event.
Yes, good sir.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. There was a lot of standing ovations. I mean, it was after everything, pretty much. I mean, maybe there was something where there wasn't.
I've only got one thing to say to that.
Ross is sitting, just by the way. Hold on. Oh, Ross is standing.
It's got to be dramatic. I got to stand up because I'm just overwhelmed.
Oh, thank you, Ross. Thank you. Thank you.
I started that action. I changed. I stood up and then I stopped.
Drew and I wrote down some notes after this, and I see we wrote Upper Shrine was about a third full. That was our estimate.
Okay. Cameras just didn't go there.
Yeah. Although I think some people were moved, but not the people next to us.
I did see some of this footage later when I was waiting in an upstairs lobby for some...
cheese and crackers?
No, they didn't have cheese and crackers, but I was waiting for some auditing. They were playing the highlights, and you had told me a bit about this before, so it was awesome to actually see the footage.
Oh, nice.
I didn't see you anywhere, but... Sure. You know.
Oh, yeah. One of the songs they sang was Right Here, Right Now, Watching the World Wake up to history. Who sings that? I don't know. And it was too long.
They're having a problem with the stopping.
Yeah.
That's such a 90s song.
Most of them were very modern songs, but that one was not.
Jesus Jones.
Okay. So once the music is over and everyone's just losing their shit.
Oh, boy, this is the concert. Best thing ever.
Oh my God. And by the way, none of these people are famous. Like, you'd think.
Oh, yeah. They've got Beck is a Scientologist.
Yes, they've got Juliette Lewis, who's a singer.
Oh, is she?
She's got a little band. But I think they might be the people who are trying to situate as like their new stars.
Up and coming.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's cool.
Sure. Okay, so they go away. And guess who comes on stage?
I'm hoping it's David Miscavige.
It's David Miscavige.
David freaking Miscavige.
Little tiny man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably my height.
He's shorter than you.
Yeah, he is the leader of Scientology.
His official title, I believe, is President of Religious Technology Services, which is like one of their orgs. And maybe he's also president of the International Association of Scientologists. But yeah, I mean, he functions as the head of Scientology.
He wrested control of Scientology after L. Ron Hubbard passed away. Mm-hmm. And there's many stories about that, too, that are very interesting to read.
Yes, yes. You should look them up.
Interesting character. But you got to see him in the flesh.
Yes, from very far away, but yes.
That's exciting.
Now, let me tell you, David Miscavige has a script, and he sticks to the script.
Was he reading it off a teleprompter?
There might have been a teleprompter in front of him, but also like one kind of shining up at him from the lectern.
Oh, okay.
Because he did a lot of Jesus at the Last Supper pose on his podium.
Carrie's
on his
got
lectern.
Her hands spread out, but touching the table surface.
Right. A very powerful kind of pose.
Okay.
A lot of that where then like his face would naturally go look down.
A power pose.
Yes, very much so. I was listening. I'm not kidding. I was listening through that whole 3 hours. Like, I'm going to catch him when he says, or when he starts a word and doesn't stop it.
None of that?
That I caught?
Wow.
Nothing. He was talking for like a little over 2 hours.
That's
not once.
That's amazing.
It was amazing, but it was also so scripted. Robotic.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, his delivery was robotic?
His delivery was not robotic as in like monotone, but robotic as in like, I have figured out how to say every line and that is how I am saying it. You know, there was just nothing organic about it.
Were there any moments where he was called upon to extemporize or he had to react to the audience or anything?
Nope, not at all.
Okay. Did he get up and stay there for 2 hours?
Yes.
Oh, wow. He's just running the show.
There were two times where videos were playing, maybe more than two, maybe I'm underestimating, but there were a couple times when videos were playing and he would go off stage during the video, but never for more than 2 minutes, maybe to get some water or whatever. Just like in the classes, they leaned very heavily on their videos.
Okay.
Every single announcement they made had its own video.
They produce video. They do it well.
And they were produced in the exact same way, in the same way as some of the nonfiction videos we've seen before. So it wasn't like bad acting necessarily, but, you know, same production values, same color schemes.
Talking heads, inspirational music.
Yep.
Fast tempo inspirational music. Uh-huh. Swooshing, flooshing
logos. Oh, yes, lots of swooshing. lots and lots of swooshing. Uh-huh. Flock of birds.
A murmuration of seagulls.
So he was introducing a bunch of things that he was saying happened that year, which was the greatest year Scientology has ever known in the history of the world.
2015?
Yes. Now, you might be thinking, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't this the year that a very big documentary was released?
Going Clear came
that
out.
Really, really like...
Bad negative press?
Yeah, got the church.
I'm sure they spent some
attention.
Time to discuss that, right?
You know what? No.
How many times would you say it was mentioned?
Zero.
Oh, that many.
It was never brought up.
No negatives.
Nothing negative was brought up. Nothing.
Nothing
and not
that could
even
be
something that they're like spinning. No. No mention.
We're collecting successes here.
Yeah.
Wins.
Not even, boy, this year we've been through some ups and some downs. Nothing. Just all ups. All ups. It's all been great. I mean, probably some of those people don't even know about the movie, right?
Yeah. Highly possible, yeah.
Anyway.
Because Code of a Scientologist, first thing is you do not.
Don't talk about Fight Club.
You didn't even watch. Anything critical of Scientology.
A lot of the videos were about starting new orgs around the world.
And they always have the big ribbon cutting ceremony. So you see like this giant ribbon, these giant scissors.
Yes. David Miscavige would be like, oh, we opened this thing in Ohio. And then the video would come on. And in the video, there would almost always be someone from the city who would be like, Scientology is welcome here and thank you for what did for the parks or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then they act like, you know, this is some like re-endorsement from the city. Uh-huh. It's just like, well, they do that for like nearly everything, but okay.
Right, right. Some deputy mayor or something saying like, together, all of us can work together to make this a better city.
And, you know, and also these kind of like giving credit where credit is due stuff. You know, mm-hmm. like if Scientology did help build the park, of course, go congratulate them for building the park, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Drew noticed this, but I didn't. He said that they almost always ended with a letter from the city to Scientology, like talking about how great Scientology is, which we will touch on later.
That is a recurring theme.
Yeah, I was really glad you remembered that. So David Miscavige mispronounces the word dyslexic, which is too bad because he has to say it a lot.
What does he say? Does he say Adele Dazeem?
No.
What does he say?
Dyslectic.
Dyslectic?
Yeah. And it's too bad because, one, it's a funny thing to mispronounce. Come on now.
Yeah.
And two, he said it so many times because it's one of the things that Scientology aims to help people overcome with their various school programs.
Yeah.
And so he kept having to say it like, and hundreds of dyslexic kids. That's definitely how he thinks it's said.
Okay.
Oh, he said that more people are going clear than ever before.
If you're listening, David, it's dyslexic.
It's dyslexic. But we love you.
We don't judge you.
There are more people going clear than ever. You can go up the bridge a lot faster than you used to, Ross.
Yeah,
now
well,
that we've
with
got
the
golden
age
tech two
student hat.
Now you can. Yeah. My maybe favorite part of this, and by favorite, I also mean most aggravating, was the statistics. The statistics were so impossible to get
your head
around. You were
telling me some of these numbers.
Oh my God.
I love
this.
It
was like impossible to understand. I didn't have my notes out, so I don't want to say that I have these numbers exactly right.
Okay.
But it would be things like, this year, we gave out 10,000 times as many Dianetics books as the previous record's growing spree.
Like random words at the end.
But he'd say it so fast and with such gusto that you're just like, that must be good. And then you'd look at it on the screen and be like, wait, what? The what? 10,000? But all the people around us just kept going like, oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. The word kept being growth. So like growth is already a little bit of a wiggle word, right? But mm-hmm. then it would be like the growth has increased over the growth from the previous two. Like, okay, I have no that, clue.
That's a number. The 2% years,
no
months. What are we talking about?
There was a lot of that.
Frames of reference being carefully squirreled away.
And then there were some that I was just like, maybe this is true, or maybe you're just downright lying. Like they'd just be like, 5 million people went clear this year. Okay, moving on.
I don't think there's that many Scientology members.
I'm making that number up. But there were some that just felt like really pulled out of their ass.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe they weren't.
Apparently, it is faster now with Golden Age tech phase two. You
Student
can
net.
Like get clear within 2 years, I've heard.
Yes. He said some people go clear within a year.
And that made me sad when I heard that. Because, for example, Roger had just recently gone clear.
And yes.
He's been in the church for many, many years.
Yeah,
since
I think
the
like
80s.
50, yeah, okay.
And then Ben is not clear yet.
And how long has he been there?
28 years.
God.
And so I felt really bad for him all of a sudden. Like, well, why is he not clear yet? And you can tell because they wear these bracelets.
Yeah.
And yeah, that makes me sad. And he says that his wife is clear and they have a roommate that's also in the Sea Org, another woman, and they're both clear.
We'll talk later about what going clear means. But like part of it is you have to be the first one to be like, I think I'm clear. And then you go through these sort of tests. And I wonder if he's too honest with himself.
Maybe. It's so arbitrary.
My favorite thing.
Your favorite.
Oh, see, I've already said like three things are my favorite thing. But sure. Here's another one. We gave a standing ovation to the very idea of banjos.
wait, what? It's okay for you to have multiple favorite things if they can give standing ovations 27 times. Because here's the thing with standing ovations. They're supposed to be like for something rare that stands out from everything else. And you lose subtlety when every response is a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm. So I get to have a bunch of favorites.
If everything is worthy of standing ovation, nothing is worthy of standing ovation. So yeah, you can have all the favorites you want, Carrie. You go ahead and keep
my
having
next,
favorites.
My next very favorite thing.
Wait, banjos. What was that all about?
Okay. Among their many programs, Scientology runs some business programs where they help businesses to like implement certain training structures and managerial structures.
Yes, they're WISE Technology, W-I-S-E. Yes,
exactly. There are a bunch of companies that have implemented these, claim that they've had much success with them. Mm-hmm. One is a banjo company. This is like near the beginning of the presentation about WISE. And so I had no idea why I was watching a video about banjos for like a solid 2 minutes.
But you got some nice banjo music.
But I love banjo music, so I was okay with it.
Win-win.
So they're just talking about like them making these banjos. So I'm like, okay, people make banjos. Cool. And then about how banjos are now all over the world. They're the new big instrument. And see how you just see banjos everywhere? And then they like, you know, they show like 5 or 6 bands that use banjos. I'm like, okay. And then found like one article where someone was like, why is this the year of the banjo? And when they put that up, everyone's like, oh, because we all know why. Uh-huh. It's because they implemented the WISE technology at this one banjo place.
Makes sense.
They're like, and that is why the U.S. is being overtaken by the banjo. And everyone's like, yes, leaps through me.
Clap for the banjo!
Banjo! The banjo! At that point, I leaped to my feet. I was like, yes! Banjos!
That's amazing.
It was so good. And then
that's my favorite moment.
And then they panned to the people in the audience who run the banjo company. They were there.
Hey.
And they waved. Wonderful.
That they're having the best moment of their banjo playing life.
Yep. Yeah, I wonder with all those WISE people, are they all Scientologists or not? Like, can you imagine if these people weren't and they're just like, what the fuck? And they're just waving.
I have a friend who works for a WISE company and he's always telling me little inside bits about that.
Okay.
But he is not a Scientologist.
Does he get pressure to become one?
No, he said. Okay, good. He said they're pretty cool.
We also got to watch videos about The Way to Happiness.
Oh, yes.
Which is a book that L. Ron Hubbard wrote. Very small book.
It's a non-religious moral code.
And it's kind of their version of the Ten Commandments. Like it has some very basic.
But it's at least 110% better than the Ten Commandments because there's 21 of them.
Sure. So, of course, they were claiming, we'll get this again later, but claiming that it reduces crime, brings kids out of drugs and immorality. They kept saying that. Brings kids out of immorality. Who knows what that means?
How do we measure that?
Okay.
You pass this book around to everybody in a community and the community becomes a better place.
Yes, it does. And they said that there was this one guy, his name is Leon Kelly, who apparently is a gang interventionist who uses The Way to Happiness in like his gang intervention. Huh. They had him stand up in the audience and wave. He seemed very happy to be there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Would you say that was your favorite moment?
No. Banjos.
You can have more than one.
I know, but this was just okay.
Sure. Okay.
Oh, we talked about ABLE, which is another one of their programs that they have so many programs.
Oh, yeah.
And so many like separate
acronyms.
Yes. And so many separately
shell organizations,
incorporated organizations. Mm. So hard to follow. But ABLE is one that focuses on, again, bringing kids out of immorality, but also on giving them scholastic abilities, things like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, improving literacy.
Oh, because they're ABLE.
But I think ABLE stands for something too.
Of course it does.
There was some org in Italy that's being started that was like a really big deal.
Hey, new org in Italy.
Hey, Scientology.
Get a free personality test.
There were some people who got to get up and stand on the stage because they were getting these awards for like having brought a lot of people into Scientology that year.
Oh.
And they got like this tiny sad little pin. Oh. And they showed it on the screen. They were like, they get the blah 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 emblem. And it was just like this little pin, and they like put it on all
but they're
them.
Using like loud speaker, yeah, like stentorian voice.
Amazing.
You
yeah.
get the pin.
And then they pan over them, and there were, I think there were 70 of them. It was like a sizable number. And maybe I projected this, but I just felt like the jealousy of everyone in the room. Clap, 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 clap.
Oh,
clap.
Wow.
You guys did it. But I might have been projecting it. Maybe I felt jealous. Maybe I wanted the pin. Maybe I do. I don't know.
How many people did they have to invite into Scientology to win that pin?
I don't know. I don't think they actually said. I think it was like, you know.
But everybody else knew, and it should have been them up there.
Should have been them. Maybe next year. But truly, maybe my favorite part.
Okay.
I'm trying to decide, is this better than Banjos? I don't know. Is he saluted L. Ron Hubbard and said, hip hip, and then we all went, hooray! Hip hip, hooray! Hip hip, hooray! Which is the thing that, you know, he instituted after L. Ron Hubbard's death. So it was exciting to do that with him. And then we sang, We Stand Tall. We all sang it together.
We Stand Tall!
And
cool.
I clapped as we sang it. And it was very
if you don't know what that is, powerful. Stop what you're doing, pull up YouTube, and see We Stand Tall,
it's
the music
video. It's the Scientology
video.
Theme song mocked throughout the world.
It is widely and generously mocked.
But it is wonderful. And
it's an amazing music video
power ballad.
From the 80s or early 90s,
I
maybe?
I think probably early 90s.
Bad sweaters going on, I think, in the video.
But man, I loved it. I was so excited to
That's
sing
amazing.
We Stand Tall.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
It was so great.
I've done the Hip Hip Hooray for him before.
Oh, okay. With David Miscavige?
No.
Interesting.
Sorry.
So then when that was all over, I turned to Drew, who's now just pleased as punch.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, that was great. I'm so glad we went. So, yeah. Like,
I'm glad he had a good time.
He gets nervous again. Hold on. So we start like going out. We start walking toward the doors, you know, to leave. And we're just blocked by like a wall of Scientology bodies. And I'm like, can I go out of those doors? They're like, no, you have to go that way, which is like this long circuitous route around the back of the building.
Huh.
And I'm like, oh, really? Because like hundreds of people are pouring in there and it looks like a real, you know, backup. And I'm looking at the door and I was like, really, we kind of have to go. And they were like, something very exciting is going to happen. I would go that way if I were you.
Oh.
Fine. So we follow everybody. I start getting all these texts from Roger, who's like, are you here? Where can I meet you? Did you have a good time? He was like, what did you think of it? And I said, there's only one word for that, and that is comprehensive. And he said, true. That's true. We went behind the building. There was like this sort of mall they had set up with like lots of booths and a place where you could buy your clear bracelet or your OT bracelet, etc. Those bracelets are expensive. The cheapest one was like $300.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you do have to give them like your clear confirmation number. So we like stood there for a little bit. And it was so packed and nothing exciting was happening. And we started to realize nothing's happening out here. They just like wanted us to go through this part too, you know. We finally find the way out, which is like you have to walk through this funny back door. Like there's no just exit. You have to walk like around and through back some curtains and stuff. It was crazy.
Huh.
And then when we finally get out the back, we realize like, is this really where everyone exits? Because there's only Sea Org members. And all of them 35 people are smoking, and they're smoking like they have never smoked. They're just like,
wait.
Yes.
That seems incompatible with a purification rundown.
I was very surprised. There is a secret Scientology smoking phenomenon.
You are undoing your Purif, Sea Org members.
Oh my God. There were so many of them, and they were all smoking, you know, just like real fast, real intense, not talking, just not the way you imagine a smoking break where people are like, leisurely.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
casual. Like, I gotta get this in before I do. Super intense.
Oh, weird.
And we walked through them and finally found our way out, got a lift to drive us home because we had taken metro there. And as we got in the lift, guy said, "What is this?" And we said, "Oh, it was it was a Scientology event." And he was like, "Oh," and looked at us in the mirror, and we're like, "We're not Scientologists." And he was like, "Okay." And then he took off.
You feel like the need to state that clearly. There was that moment of hesitation.
Yeah. Though. I mean, I don't think he would have been like, "Get out of the car." But, you know, he looked at us like, oh boy, oh boy. So that's my story.
That's amazing.
It was a real good time.
Deserves a standing ovation.
Would you please? Yeah, banjos.
So there's still so much to tell.
There will be more.
Yeah.
But you know what that means? More for everybody.
We've got Dianetics coming. We've got Celebrity Center coming.
I'm also really excited for next month for Max Fun Drive.
And that's how you can support us.
But you can also always support us by going to MaximumFun.org/donate. Not a backslash.
Don't do that. So that is it for our show. For
today.
Today. There's more to come. Our theme music is by Brian Keith Dalton.
Our show is produced and co-edited by Ian Kramer.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/onrack, O-N-R-A-C. Like us. Check out pictures. We post lots of things to go with our investigations.
Yes, we do.
Check them out.
Sometimes vids.
Be sure to stop by your local iTunes or whatever other podcast service you use and leave us a positive review so other people can find us and know how much you like Oh No, Ross and Carrie. And remember, we stand tall.
You guys, I'm so excited to introduce to you my new baby, Getting Curious with Jonathan Van Ness. This is going to be a really fun look at things that I find curious, whether it's a menstrual cup, it might be the Romanoff family, it might be fracking, it could be Carly Fiorina. I don't even know. Who knows? It's going to be whatever I think is interesting. I can't wait to bring it to you guys. We're going to be bringing in content experts. I'm going to be learning the things. It's only going to take about 30 minutes for you to expand your baby brains with me and have a super fun time. So I can't wait to see you on our first episode of Getting Curious.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.